Marco Werman, and this is The World. Thanks for being with us today. Paris and Brussels, two European capitals, united in grief. And now we're finding out just how the terrorist attacks in those two cities may have been connected as well. Today, police in Belgium identified another of the suicide bombers who struck in Brussels on Tuesday. And they say he was also involved in the plot that resulted in the bloodshed in Paris last November. The ongoing investigation into the attacks is expanding rapidly in Europe. In a bit, we'll hear about one man who is linked to both attacks. But first, a lot has been said about how the Belgian authorities are struggling to deal with a lot of suspects and many leads. There are American officials already in Europe helping out, but what more can the U.S. do to help? I put that question to former U.S. counterterrorism official Juliette Kayyem.
First, it's identifying people who might be in Brussels, France, or anywhere else in Europe who might be responsible for the attacks in Paris last year and in Brussels this week. It appears that the United States may have actually been the entity, the government entity, that identified the man in the hat,
the sole survivor.
And they're doing that by pictures, no fly list, biometric information. If we can surge that information to European officials, they can then begin to try to track him down by going to his family members and others. There's also, beyond the intelligence sharing, we're very good as a law enforcement agency. The FBI has a major presence in all of these European countries. The FBI is clearly helping both in these investigations and to thwart future attacks. And then I think the third thing, you hear a lot about it in the United States, is European officials have to be better about getting information from these communities themselves. Belgium and France and other countries have not been good in terms of integrating their Muslim communities. That's why we're seeing this kind of radicalization. So you're going to have to see at least some outreach and effort as regards better working relationships with these communities that may know a lot more than we clearly do.
When Washington looks at Europe right now, does it say our resources are limited, we're doing our own investigations on our own stuff, or does Washington say, hey, we may have limited resources, but it's important to help out the Belgians right now because that'll benefit us in the long run?
It's the latter. It's help and assist and cooperate. I mean, although Americans died in these attacks, there's no way that the United States would have primary jurisdiction. And then even if we asserted some independent authority, it would just be a sort of bureaucratic nightmare. I mean, we're working in real time now. It's clear that there's an attempt to stop attacks in Europe that may be imminent and immediate. So instead of reinventing the wheel, I think it's just a matter of surging resources at this time to help Europe in the sort of immediate crisis. I would say one thing, though, that we need to prepare ourselves. I've said this on air with you before, is there will be other attacks. This is not fatalistic. It is just to brace people for the kind of threat that we now face, which is the likelihood of being able to find every person who has the capacity to build a relatively easy bomb and go to a soft target is very, very difficult. And even if you're really good at it, it is very, very difficult. And so one of the things I'm looking at and actually been critical of is I was very surprised that after the airport attack on Tuesday that in Brussels they let the mass transportation system continue to go. Remember, the train attack was over an hour after the airport attack. No city should continue its mass transportation system after a major attack because we know these guys are working in three or four attacks. You saw it in Paris,
right.
9/11.
So that's strategic. What else is missing in Belgium and the rest of Western Europe that we have in place in the U.S.? What specific resources do they need?
They need help with border controls, and we're also good with that. We're not perfect by any means, as anyone would know, but our no-fly list, which is probably about 1,200 people who can never make it into the United States, is something that we are now sharing with the Europeans. Because if someone makes it onto the United States no-fly list, there should be a presumption that they are a bad actor. So sharing that information and who these people are, I think also serving as a liaison between Turkey, which clearly, as we know from events this week, probably knows more about who's coming across their borders than they have been sharing with Europe or that they have been getting Europe to pay attention to. That's a clear link that needs to be tightened.
How do you feel, though, when you learn about laws in Belgium that won't allow a police raid on a residence between the hours 9 and 5 a.m.?
It's time to stop being so sensitive to people's sleep, I think. And I think they're going to change all of those rules. They have to. This is their problem in the sense that if they don't solve it, it is their own citizens who are dying. You know, we lost Americans, other nationals have lost citizens. And so I think you're going to start to see a much more aggressive law enforcement apparatus in all of these countries, supported and trained by the United States, which has a tradition of knowing how to do this.
Security analyst Juliet Kayyem teaches at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and is the author of Security Mom, which is forthcoming. Thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.